Okay. That's true. Okay. You guys have 30 minutes, and if you can do time compression, we'll be impressed with your technical skills.
Hi there. It's good to see the family, as always. I'm John Almella. I'm the interim national technical director. And first, I'd like to thank some people. I'd like to thank Greg Lonnie, Pete and Ursula, the operations directors and chief engineers who have helped so much, and of course, Otis McClay. I'd like to talk about some of the things that we've done and some of the things that we're planning to do. Michael was talking about the problems with parts of the KU satellite uplink.
We have John, can you increase the amplification of yourself?
Sorry, I'm not used to speaking on this side of the mic.
If you take the windscreen off, it's louder.
And then I will pop my peas. We have removed a component that's needed, that component from the PFW satellite, because they only have a downlink. They don't have an uplink. So that's been removed, and we're going to have that shipped to Berkeley, and Michael hopefully will be able to integrate it into the system as a replacement for the piece that may be failing. So that's one thing we're doing. Michael and I will be discussing in the next couple of days possible replacements for the KU system, which, as he talked about yesterday, is kind of out of date at this point, and it's probably in 3 years our contract's going to be up on that. Verna and myself, I don't know if she's here, have been working on some FCC rules for, actually, we're not working on the rules. We're working on some rules for FCC language compliance, on-air compliance. And we're working with the Operation Collective. And part of that was that we purchased two profanity delays for the two stations that did not have these, so that they've been purchased. You heard about that on for KPFT and PFW. We got one rather cheaply, so those are going to be put in line. And we're also going to, we have one that's going to be shipped to Berkeley and put in line with the KU for national broadcast, because Ursula tells us that we are liable for anything that goes up on the KU and out to the affiliates. We've purchased a POTS codec for to use with regular telephone lines for national broadcasts. So the stations that were using ISDN now have an alternative to that that is cheaper. And let me talk about some, I'm skipping over some things because I know that you have limited time and you probably want to ask me some questions anyway. We're going to get some scanner hardware and software, because we're going to start an inventory, an equipment inventory of all the stations, starting with WBAI and PFW. So we're finalizing the decisions on that, and then we can get that information, because that will be helpful to the stations to know what they have for interstation, to in case they have something they're not using. Maybe another station wants to do some type of a trade, and also for the national office to know what we have. Is it being depreciated? The financial department's going to want to know that information also. And that's part of that's the first part of an overall needs assessment that we're going to do for the five stations and also PRA. That's the big picture plan, which I've been working with some different people on. So, the tech meeting, the technology committee is starting to meet under the auspices of Phil Jackson over there, and things look really good. Like, we're going to be able to make some, we're going to be able to discuss things. One of the discussions that we're going to have is the discussion on HD radio. And we're going to have a meeting within the next month of the technical people present and some of the people that aren't actually working with the network right now, to try and get kind of a handle on where we want to go with this whole HD radio digital conversion. And that will probably be streamed and archived also. Other than that, I've been providing support to stations and affiliates as needed, and also for national broadcasts. And of course, streaming all your wonderful PNB meetings and PNB committee meetings. That's about it.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity to again address you folks. My name is Pete Karakis, and my server was hacked 3 times last month. And that's pretty much half of what I want to address right now. You may have noticed emails and notices from me in August pertaining this issue. Pardon me. Ironically enough, I kind of foreshadowed this in the June meeting. If you folks reflect back to the June report that I gave out, I laid out a lot of the tasks that I have and responsibilities that I focus on a daily and regular basis, and one of them was security being a concern. In fact, I expressly said in that report that we have several hundred attempts to crack the servers daily, and it was at that time only one successful crack had happened in 4 years. Well, when it rains, it pours, and it started raining on the first week of August, and it didn't end till the last week. The result of the 4 cracks is, in the end, we're better off and more secure. I've removed any even potentially vulnerable scripts or utilities on the server. So without getting too technical, I think that does speak to some of the problems that Les had just mentioned, and I know that Rip has spoken to me a few times. Since August, you may have noticed some changes in the site or the way that the email works for Pacifica.org or any of the other domains on these servers. The reason is because I'm trying to use more robust and secure mail utilities, and we have a more secure operating system. All of this is invisible to the public, but it does play a role in why things are functioning a little different. Having said that, I'm going to go back and try to correct it to ensure that the email it's supposed to go through does go through. But I just would like, if you can just bear with me with a little patience on that, I appreciate it. To go back to what was said in June and to wrap up this discussion, this little mini talk on the server hacks or cracks, really the short-term solution was I just dealt with it, night and day until it got corrected. But in the long term, and going back to what we discussed yesterday, I would think we need to, as an organization, revisit and look at seriously the investment we have in technology. What I'm saying here is not simply money investment. It's a function of time and interest. That we had this discussion yesterday was wonderful. We have to continue discussing and planning and actually executing. The level of talk to technology is high, but the level of action is very low. And in meetings past, I've come to you rather frustrated. Growing up Greek, I grew up with a lot of passion, and it's difficult for me to contain it. But it's no disrespect, and if I've been disrespectful to the board, I want to apologize. I am trying to redouble my efforts and come back and meet the tech committee, for example, halfway. And this is not only addressed to the tech committee. I really want to address the whole board here. I think for this committee in particular to function, it shouldn't go on the shoulders of the convener or the members of the tech committee. It's the other committees rely on technology. The elections committee should be motivated to get the technology going. The bylaws committee, the governance committee, the programming committee, I have to say Rob has in the past made a good effort, sincere effort, to integrate technical needs in that committee. What I would like to suggest here, if I may, as a staff, not as a board member, is I don't know if a motion would be in order, but I would like to see something come out of here where we have more motivation to get this functioning, this being the tech committee. And again, not to put it on Phil's shoulders or Sandy before that. What I would suggest possibly is I heard Rosalinda made a great suggestion last night that coming from the Affiliates Task Force, perhaps a subcommittee should be focusing on technology that pertains to affiliates. Well, similarly, perhaps, without making too much work for you, if the various committees, again, programming, governance, et cetera, would have subcommittees that focus on the technical needs for that arena, and then those subcommittees can form the tech committee. It would be a natural connection that would make it easier. Now, I don't know if it's logistically feasible for you folks. Another thing I would like to put out, if possible, my limited experience in those two tech meetings that we have had in the 4 years is that the folks on the committee, as well-intentioned as they are not as directly connected with the technical needs on the ground of our stations. And what I would recommend, if possible, without saying making it mandatory, somehow making it highly recommended, perhaps, that the staff representatives on the board join the technical committee, giving that connection to the local station, because the staff representatives are the ones that have the best idea of the technical realities at their stations and the needs going forward. And there would be less need of a learning curve. It would be more spread out. So that I will leave it at that. I want to say again thank you to you folks for the time and for listening. I want to also thank John O'Mella. Working with John the last few months, it's been the first time in 4 years I feel I have a real team and support and staff, and I want to acknowledge that, and also the affiliates task force as well, which has invited me in to participate and play some role. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay, just in answer to the logistical question, the tech committee is actually specified in the bylaws, so its mode of formation is fixed, but I think your idea of having tech subcommittees of the other committees is a good one. I also just want to comment that the KPFK LSB reps to the tech committee are both staff reps. Actually, I have Rip, Lisa, Bob, Patty.
Thank you, and thanks for your report, guys. And also, I want to thank the ED and the CFO for stepping up to provide the extra labor position, because technology is now the backbone of this foundation. It used to be the Postal Service mailing around reel-to-reel tapes, okay, but now we're in this new age, and this is what we need to focus on. I have just a quick 60-second comment and a short question for the two gentlemen here, yes. First, I'd like to say, as we develop the delivery technology, such as streaming programs that are not broadcast, and as digital radio channels become available, I have heard from a number of members that we should start delivering new programming that way. And what I'd like to point out is that the most underserved audiences do not deserve to be marginalized by telling them to go online for their programming. Most of these folks do not have the computers and technology to listen to that programming. If anything goes online, it should be the dominant culture, music programs, and programs geared towards wealthy new age listeners who have the money to purchase these new technologies, not programs like the Spanish language newscast. And my question, though, after that dramatic statement, is somewhat less focused in what happened to the excess Mac computers that we heard about 6 months ago.
We're still working on that. That actually has kind of fallen between the cracks, but I'm going to start working on that right away. Can I address one thing? I have only one thing that might be a problem. Putting music programming on the stream, music that's copyrighted, may not... Was that what you were going to talk to?
It can be a problem.
It can be a problem. I don't know if it falls under our CPB licensing agreement.
And if I can just quickly respond. Again, I did neglect to say that, and thank you to the National Office for putting forward this time around additional staffing. Without knowing the exact details on that, from what I heard, I believe, in a Finance Committee a few weeks ago, I don't remember the exact dollar figure or range, but I would suggest that we look at the salary level that we're looking to introduce here and ensure that it's sufficient for someone with the right skill set that I need, or that we need, rather. And what I say by that is I would like to see a salary here, not to break the bank. I'm talking just maybe a $10,000 difference or so, where we have someone who is not coming in as an assistant who I would have to train, which essentially would in the short term be more work for me, but someone who can come in with skills and work right off the bat on his or her own. So I would like to, if you folks can look at that particular area and maybe slightly adjust it up to something that's a little more realistic for us to get someone with the proper skills.
I would support that.
Lisa.
I'm sorry, if I may say a quick thing on the digital divide. Phil had mentioned this yesterday. I spoke very well to it at the very end, and I didn't want to continue because I think I spoke too much yesterday. But there are solutions here as well. And if we are creative and we take a startup mentality to this rather than a big business mentality, and we really think flip the conventional wisdom on its head, we can do things like take our archives that are sitting in our local station servers and connect them to existing phone systems. There's a phone system called Asterisk. It's free, and you can set it up so that the end user can call an 800 number possibly, and instead of press 1 for English, press 2 for Spanish, press 3 for whatever, press 1 for archives, press 2 for feedback. Like, we can set up phone systems that are extraordinarily advanced, that are free largely. All you need is the human infrastructure to design them and to implement them, and we can set up archives through our phones. Now, the whole world may not have phones, but much of America has phones, including cell phones. So think about that when we're talking about the digital divide. Or think about, you know, using our airwaves to educate people how they can access free or cheap internet access in their communities. So there are ways we can use what we have better to bridge these gaps if we're creative.
Lisa, I've got after Lisa, Bob, Patty, Mary Allen. We're also at time, so I'm hoping people will keep their remarks short. This is going to be a problem throughout the day. And I, actually, you know what? We're at time.
Okay, then I move that we extend.
Oh, wait. No, we started 10 minutes late. I'm sorry. We extended. We have 10 more minutes. My apologies.
I would like to make a motion, and I move that the tech director present to the technology committee a technical infrastructure plan which would include additional staff and a budget. And I would like to propose that there be a timeline to this by 11/15/06, which is a very good day because it also happens to be the day I was born. But anyway.
Second.
I would support that.
That's great.
Is there more?
Oh, sure. I'll repeat it without the birthday remark. That the tech director present to the technology committee a technical infrastructure plan which would include additional staff and a budget with the timeline, or that he presented within the timeline of November 15th or by November 15th.
There's been a second. Do you want to motivate it? And then I'd like to ask the executive director to his response. Go ahead.
I think it is so important. We've been hearing a lot about, well, we know radio cannot exist without technology. And it's changing every day. We've been hearing things. I mean, the tech people have been working technology, have been doing a great, very, very good, but we've been hearing consistently about a lot of the issues that are going on. And I think we have to really take it seriously. I think we have to get focused. I mean, we can hear the issue of technology is so vast and so wide that a lot of times I think it just gets caught in the idea of something abstract and ideas. We need to really concretely do more than just think about it, but to begin to go in a certain direction where we concretely think and really keep it in our foreminds, bring it to the forefront that we have to be focused on this issue. We can talk technology all we want. We need the people to implement. We need to have more of an understanding, more of a direction in terms of how do we at least solidify what we have.
Thank you.
And I think it's very important.
Greg, do you want to comment?
On the basic thrust of the motion, I have no problem, but and also on what Pete commented previous to that in terms of a possible budget adjustment in the short term relating to the position that we've already identified, the only question I have is that that this motion kind of links up with what John was talking about in terms of the needs assessment, and my question would be whether it would put undue pressure on that process and whether that process could really be done within the next 45 days. And so I would simply ask for some way to be a little flexible on the date in case they're in the midst of something that they haven't been able to complete by that time, so that we have the full access to the information we need to put together a really viable plan.
Lonnie.
Friendly amendment to the motion, come up with a budget working with the CFO.
Oh, sure.
I think that would save us a lot of time. In terms
does anyone want to move that the budget will be developed?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's my assumption, by the way, that the tech director is going to work with the ED and the CFO in this. Do we really need to specify it? Unanimous consent that such a plan will be developed in collaboration? Okay.
That's the only way.
Okay. Yes, Rip.
Right. Can I let's think about an amendment before someone seconds this, that we would change the date to the January meeting just to take into account their work for the tech?
Just so you know, the intent is to take it to the tech committee. So if it goes to the January meeting, then the tech committee hasn't reviewed it, then you don't get motion action on it until later in the year.
I didn't want anybody to second it right away.
Okay. Lisa?
Can I offer a friendly change that might help? We can just say with the timeline, if possible, by 11:15.
A target date?
If possible, by 11:15.
Pete, do you want to comment?
If I may just speak to what was the issue that Greg raised, which is a legitimate one. In this particular area, I think that the technical people have long identified the needs. I don't think 45 days is too much of an undue burden here.
Okay, Rob, and then Lydia. She's stretching this time.
I'd like to point out that one of the things that the board has to do in this process is establish the philosophy and the vision for this. The board has to be able to make decisions on creating architecture that will suit the needs of the archives, not as they exist now, but as we want them to exist, to operate the foundation the way it should, to use the archives, for example, as an educational resource. And when we talked about this yesterday, I identified some action steps that need to be taken. I would just like to suggest that our chair, David Adelson, who I think has a very strong vision and who also is very adept and fluent with the technology, kind of continue to work with the staff to make sure that there is some structure and direction so that the board can understand and make decisions at an appropriate time, and questions like the licensing and distribution don't get tangled up. I don't know what the best way to do that is, David.
I'm on the tech committee.
Okay. That's great. Thank you.
Okay. And I was going to ask you to actually later to head up a task force on that same thing, so mutual admiration society. Patty.
All right. Well,
microphone. All right. We're clearly running out of time, and I had several questions, so I'll just... did this get motion go on, or did this pass, or did something happen with this? Are we in the middle of this motion?
We're still in the middle of it, but go ahead.
No, I have a different motion.
Okay.
About something.
Is there any objection to calling a vote on this question so we can consider other business? All those in favor, can you reread the motion, please?
I move that the tech director present to the technology committee a technical infrastructure plan which would include additional staff and a budget with the timeline, if possible, by November 15, 2006.
Is there any objection? It's adopted without objection. Patty.
All right. Okay. I had a couple comments and then a motion. I'm looking over the websites of the Pacifica Foundation. I find a few issues. One, the KU audio port doesn't have posted the informed dissent program that we have. The audio port, when I look there, it's just as one program among many, which I think if we put $50,000 into it, we should have maybe like a little banner or something to get people to notice that it's there. And so I would like really that those kind of things to be sort of thought of since we're spending all this money for this stuff. also, but my motion, because I've been looking over Pacifica.org, PacificaFoundation.org. I've looked all over the place, and I find outdated PNB information, and absolutely unable to find this meeting on the anywhere from the Pacifica.org on. So I make a motion that I move that in-person PNB meetings announcements be posted 30 days ahead or as soon as information is available and be adequately posted on the Pacifica.org website as well as PacificaFoundation.org. And I'm motivating this. I think we have CPB guidelines.
Hang on.
I think
do you have a second?
A second.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
And before you do that, can you explain to me? The bylaws require notice. How does this compare with the bylaws notice requirement? Isn't it about the same?
I think it is, but it's not happening, so I'm just moving it here. Last week I saw the banner up on the top, and now it's been moved down to the bottom. There's no notice anywhere that this meeting's taken place or that you can link here to listen. It's totally hidden away, and when you click on any governance thing on Pacifica.org, which I think most people are habitually used to, it takes you to 2004 and 2001 and all kinds of stuff. And if you click on the banner on the top, you hit governance, it's all old stuff. There's not a link that goes to Pacifica.org/PNB where there might be current information. I don't see that listed as a link anywhere on Pacifica.org, the PNB/PNB. So I'm just saying, I'm fairly conversant with the internet, and I cannot personally find this information on the websites. And I think that we pay a lot of money for governance, and we should be proud of it, as embarrassing as we are.
Okay. By the way, just for informational purposes, what the bylaws say is no notice of all meetings shall be placed on the foundation's website and announced a minimum of 3 times daily on air for 5 consecutive days on all foundation radio stations, beginning whenever reasonably possible, no later than 10 days before the date. So the bylaws specify 10, so yours would extend it to 30.
Yeah, because people got a plan.
Okay. Further discussion? Yeah, Pete? And we don't have a lot of time for this, so we're going to talk for a second and vote it up or down.
Yeah, I just want to clarify a few slight misunderstandings, perhaps, to peel back a few of these issues. First of all, the audio port is not a public site. It is for our staff, sister and affiliate stations to go and quickly find programming. Banners and other things are for public sites. We have other ways to advertise our programming. We are doing that with the information we're getting from the various producers when we get them. I, as a technical person, am not going to write up copy and press releases for specials and disseminate them for the producers. That's not my job. Secondly, with regards to notice, my experience in the 4 years is, Pete, we need to add this person to the PNB list. Do it without giving me the name of the person or the email of the they give me the name without the email address. Or, Pete, post the message for the meeting without an agenda or without the dates or without the time. I may not listen to all your PNB meetings to take down those notes when you discuss where and when, believe it or not. So when you send me requests, it would help me if the actual information is in the request. And I'll show you my emails. I'm saying 95% of these requests are such. For example, this recent agenda. The final agenda, I was given a draft several weeks ago from the executive director. Within an hour of giving the draft, I responded, done, with a link to where it is. And I said, when you approve and tell me this is not a draft but the final agenda, I will make it public. I didn't get an approval from anyone on the board for over a week. I had a meeting in person with the executive director 10 days later, and I followed up with him. I'm doing my follow-up work to the best that I can with the hours that I put into this organization, but there are other barriers in terms of specifically communication. And finally, I would caution any additional motions that specify Pacifica.org. As I've been saying for the last 2 years, the intention is to separate Pacifica program content only on Pacifica.org and extract all the other additional Pacifica information internal 990s, bylaws, PMB meetings, even affiliate information on other sites that are more targeted for those particular needs. So we can have Pacifica.org compete with the likes of CNN and NPR.org and et cetera, where it's purely content. And finally, will I say the new Pacifica.org will be available next time we see each other in January, and it will be content-based. It will be our producers' programming will dominate Pacifica.org.
Thank you. I just want to confirm that this time the agenda problem was my problem. I thought I had emailed Greg in response well before, and he was asking me, and so I'll take responsibility for the agenda question for this meeting. The rest of it I have no control over. I'd like to move to a vote on the motion. Yes,
sorry,
Bob?
To respond.
No, we can't. We're done. We're long done.
To respond to Pete's concern.
Everybody always wants to talk on every item, and as a result, we never finish.
I want to make a motion.
Bob?
Should this be second? What happened to this motion?
In response to Pete's comment, can we just move to strike the words Pacifica.org from the motion so that it's not a forever and ever mandate for a site that's no longer relevant to governance information?
No, I would refuse to strike that because I think people go there, and we are a membership organization, and even if it has a small somewhere about us, or we are a democratic organization that runs like this, I think we should be proud of that, and that should be posted on the Pacifica.org website as well. I don't even know when did we make a motion to split these up. And that this, front site that people go to can't, until people, I don't ever see that Pacifica.org won't be the main site that must link to all these other things. And I would not strike it because it belongs there in some form.
Okay, we're going to vote this. All those in, can you reread the motion, please?
In-person meeting announcements be posted 30 days ahead or as soon as information is available and be adequately posted on the Pacifica.org website as well as PacificaFoundation.org.
All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. All those opposed?
I'm opposed. It's not feasible right now.
Thank you. Okay. Now, the member is agitated in desire to make a motion. The question I have for the member is whether this motion is of such urgency that we need to delay things like the consideration of the FSRN contract, personnel recommendations, and the rest, or whether it can wait till our next meeting.
No, I don't believe it can wait,
Then will
Mr.
you
Chair.
Make a motion to extend time, please?
I would like to make a motion to extend time 10 minutes. That ought to be more than sufficient. At the end of 10 minutes, we just need to call the question on it.
Is there a second to the motion to extend time? I'd like to call a vote. All those in favor of extending time 10 minutes, please raise your hand. Teresa? It's a motion to extend time. Please count. By Berg.
Yeah, for the purpose of making a motion, which I consider cannot wait till the next meeting.
Berg, motion extend 10 minutes. All in favor is 1, 2, 3, and 4, and...
Opposed?
Fail. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Members should realize that if we have time and new business, the motion will be in order then. Okay, the next thing on the agenda is action item from committees. We are now quite over time, so the two committees from which we have action items are... Yes.
Maybe I did this wrong, but I have National Finance, Elections, and Personnel Committee.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
The committee, so we're going to start with the National Finance Committee items. The thing had been allotted 40 minutes. I'm aware of a 10-minute proper extension of time, which would have moved this to 1:15. So we have to 1:15 at this point. LaVarne's the chair of that committee. How many motions do you have, LaVarne?
We have three.
We have three motions. May we agree on 5 minutes to process each motion?
Please.
Is there any objection? We'll take 5 minutes. So I'm going to, when the motion is presented, I'm going to alternate pro and con. Go ahead, LaVarne.
Thank you. These are motions that were passed by the Finance Committee, and the first one, I'll be brief, is proposed financial impact policy statement. Resolved that it shall be the policy of the Pacifica National Board in all deliberations and meetings of the Pacifica National Board, consideration and or approval of all motions with a potential financial impact upon the network budget that are submitted to the board for action shall require A, that a written version of the motion be submitted to the Secretary of the Board, B, a written financial impact statement be submitted to the Secretary of the Board, and final approval of the motion shall not be finally approved by the Board unless and until a financial impact statement be submitted as an attachment to the proposed motion. C. The financial impact statement shall identify the source of the funds for any proposed expenditure. D. All proposed expenditures and motions by the board shall be reviewed by the CFO, who shall submit a statement as to whether the funds are available or will require budget adjustments to complete. It is the intent of this recommendation that all motions which may have a financial impact upon the network be adequately reviewed and compared to actual resources available.
So that's from the committee. It doesn't require a second. Will you motivate it? And,
yes. I think that our goal here is consistent with the board, that we need to provide some type of infrastructure within the board and to provide some policies so that when we propose motions, we will have a good idea in terms of if there are funds available, and that, you know, they're just not arbitrary, and that this is based, and that we do have limited resources, and that in motions must be, you must give the cost of these motions either actual costs or either any other costs that you might associate with it. Thank you.
I'd like to have the CFO's comment on each of the motions.
Yeah, I would agree with the committee. We worked hard on the long on this. We do have an existing board policy that does require that we look at the financial cost. We have a policy back in September 2003 that essentially states this particular motion, where it did require the board to identify the source of funds. And so it's a restatement, Mr. Chair.
And the reason it's in order is because it does get more specific on a couple of points. Who would like to speak?
I finish, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Let me just finish a couple of comments. So it is really a clarification of an existing board policy initially enunciated in September 2003. Two other points. Email versions of motion statements are available, so board members could email back and forth at a particular board meeting any motion that they might have. There are email versions of the financial impact statement so that folks can fill out an impact statement at a board meeting and email it around, so it need not be hold up a motion. And the last point I'll make is that I do have the budgets, so if there's a question of whether there are funds available, I could look it up at a board meeting, and this would not delay action on a particularly critical motion.
Who would like to speak opposed? Do you have a point of information, Evelyn? Go ahead. And Ray does too.
Question to Lonnie. Point of information. If I needed that form right now, where would I find it?
I could email it to you right here.
Would you do that, please?
And we did use it, by the way.
We don't have time for elaborations. Ray.
What is the rationale for this new motion? I mean, really, what is the difference between this one and the pre-existing one?
LaVarne?
Oh, I think, as David said, I think that what we've put in here is that in terms of you would send the version to the Secretary of the Board, that the Secretary of the Board, in terms of the final approval, and she'll have that in there. So then you will send that to her. And to the person, the Secretary. So that we will have this you know, and you can actually send this out to the other members of the board, so you'll see what the process is, so that any discussions and for in other meetings, you'll have this information available to you.
And as chair, the prior motion was ambiguous enough that I was frequently uncertain of what we could and couldn't do at a given time with respect to processing a motion, because it hadn't been explicit whether we had to have that impact statement prior to the consideration of a motion and what constituted adequate fulfillment of the requirement for a statement. So this is very, very explicit as to step and stage. We're at time. I am going to recognize one comment in opposition prior to going to a vote. Who would like to speak opposed to the motion? Seeing no objection to, nobody wanting to speak in objection, is there any objection to adopting the motion? Seeing no objection, it's adopted. The second motion?
Thank you. I'll go to motion 9 so we can get through this. This is basically policy and definitions for the Finance Committee and anyone else on the board who has a definite interest in terms. And basically, I'll talk to that in terms of motivation. Okay, resolve that it shall be the policy with the policy. And we have definitions stated first. The definitions are unit reserves. Unit reserves equal cash in bank minus accounts payable as reflected on the end of fiscal year balance sheet. Annual net surplus is the amount labeled surplus deficit after cash and capital on the end of fiscal year income statement. 1 month of operating expenses is the unit's annual operating costs divided by 12, not including capital spending or central services. And this is the policy that we're asking to approve. Each unit, meaning the station or whatever, must have a reserve of at least 1 month's operating expenses at the end of the fiscal year. Units may tap this reserve to cover cash flow shortfalls, but must replenish it by the end of the same fiscal year. Any unit that does not meet the operating reserve requirement shall budget an annual net surplus of no less than 1 month's operating expenses until it satisfies the reserve requirement. And two, in addition to 1 month's operating expenses, each unit must have an emergency reserve equal to at least 2 months' operating expenses. Units may use this money only in the case of a catastrophic event and must submit to the CFO and the Finance Committee a plan for replenishing it. Any unit that does not meet the emergency reserve requirement shall budget an annual net surplus of no less than one-half of 1 month's operating expenses until it satisfies the emergency reserve requirement. That surplus shall enter the unit's reserves at the end of the fiscal year. So basically what we're trying to do here is to get some definitions so when we get into our discussions about reserves and 1 month's operating expenses, we all know what the definition is and we can all plan accordingly. And I think that, you know, I've been on the Finance Committee for 3 years and we've wrestled with this and we've talked about it. So finally, you know, we're putting some definitions in place, some policy in place, and I think, you know, we have the support of everyone on the Finance Committee.
Lonnie, can you take 30 seconds to respond? Your just feelings on this?
Yeah, I think it's a step forward in terms of establishing some definitions. I think I urge the board to support it. I think we need to move forward on this. The only reservation that I do have is that we need to come up with some implementing components. The Finance Committee would come back with how it actually work out. But I do urge the board to support it at this point and move us forward in terms of establishing some minimum solvency requirements such that we know when we look at these statements that stations are minimally solvent. Right now, it's not clear because sometimes yes and sometimes no, and the numbers need to be clear so everyone can look at the financials and know this station's okay or it's not okay.
You know, our vice chair wants to speak it just when I was going to yield him the chair because as a member of the committee, I wanted to speak. So, no. If you don't need to, then I'll
mine
yield.
Mine is a very short one. Summary of this whole thing is that you would like to see 3 months operating expenses pretty much at the end of any year, right? 2 in emergency reserve and 1 month in the operating reserve. Is that right?
I'll yield the chair and then I'll speak to it.
Yeah, that's the idea, but not to be achieved overnight, and it would be achieved only on a gradual basis.
But that's correct.
Yeah.
But the current policy, what is that?
It's right now the current policy in effect says 1 month, not
1 month.
Yeah.
So we are going from 1 month to 3 months. That's the difference.
Establishing a new goal.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to yield the chair, and I would like to speak.
Thank you. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. Sort of, kind of, is, I think, the answer to that last question. And the reason is that there was some ambiguity, because of ambiguity about the differences between reserves and surpluses. Because the word reserve had when we talked about the 1 month or the 1 month reserve, frequently what we were specifically referring to in the income statement was the bottom line, which was the surplus. It's entitled surplus depreciation, a surplus deficit before depreciation. But basically, it's what you earned during the course of that year over and above what you spent. Okay, and so with some technical little provisos. So what we had was a policy that was variously interpreted by different people, sometimes as requiring you to generate that surplus every year regardless of what was in your bank account, and by other people as saying, well, no, you only had to have enough to get through the month. We, in practice, and as a result of some motions, we actually were conducting it as though you had to have that 1 month each year. The point of this motion is, it says if you've got a lot of money in the bank, then you can budget less. If you don't have a lot of money in the bank, you got to budget, and you got to put a minimum amount into those bank accounts and build it up. And the long-term goal to get to is 3 months in reserve. And that's the point, and I'm fully in favor of it.
Thank you. Mary?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that, because there has been all this ambiguity, my understanding is that if the month's expenses are X, every bank account must have 3X in it at the first of the year. If not, then the cash plus accrued surplus has to be the thing that is adjusted, has to be raised accordingly. Or it has to be adjusted to cover that. That's correct?
Yeah, that would be my interpretation.
That's the wording I'm seeing here according to the definitions that are given. A net surplus does include accrued and cash in bank, and it accrues things like, you know, long-term expenses and alter.
It's from the balance sheet.
So yeah, exactly. So that's what we're talking about here. That's what's talked about down here. Okay. And there's no question anymore, as far as I read this, that if you have 3X or more in the bank, then you don't have to go start cutting your budget or doing anything. You're all right. Have I got the assurance that I'm reading this correctly?
Can I respond?
It's either kind of yes or no.
In terms of management of your station, you would think that you have the person in place who has the wisdom in order to make the right decision. So I can't say that you can't do a certain thing.
No.
This is in terms of the health
in terms of
the of the foundation, not just the station.
No, my question is just in terms of this requirement. I want to.
May I respond? Yes.
That is just clear. I saw our CFO nodding, so I assume
just one
I
second here.
Correct.
Dave can shed some light
the,
on that.
What it means is that if you generate a surplus, you can use it for other purposes. So you may still be budgeting to surplus, but you don't have to put it away and never let it be seen
again.
And the decision of how much surplus you do or don't is a decision the board will make as a result of the budgeting process. So it doesn't say you don't have to have a surplus at that point. It just says you don't have to store that away for emergencies.
Thank you, Dave. Bob?
Lonnie, does this policy continue the option that, if I understand correctly, up till now we've had that in extreme hardship cases, the board can vote to waive the one-month requirement? Would that continue?
Yes. Say you have a station that has no reserves, mm-hmm. not to mention 3 months. Say it has zero reserves. But this two possible outcomes. One, the station in the budget process steps forward and says, we have no reserves, we need a waiver. The board will review it on a case-by-case basis as a part of the ordinary budgeting process. If the station has no months, then the board could say you need to start in your budgeting process to build at least a half a month until you get to the requirements. And that's really what it was, stepwise. So it would take you actually 6 years, a half a month each budget cycle. And so the answer to the question is, at each budget year, we would look at each station and then make our recommendations.
Just one last comment. So is this clear from, I mean, what you said was very clear, but that's not in this motion. Yeah, maybe Dave could clarify that so that people reading this in the future will not say, oh, but the board said this is absolute, and without revoking this motion, we can't grant any waivers. Maybe Dave could clarify.
Yeah, so this was proposed actually by Baruti for the specific case of a station in distress. It was saying that those stations would have a more lenient, this actually makes for the station in distress a more lenient surplus policy because they only have to generate a half a month. Whereas before, we were pushing them to generate a month. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I believe, this is LaVarin, and I believe it's in the, it says that in the motion, number two.
All right.
Thank you, Rip. Right, specifically for stations like WBAI.
Thank you. Rip?
Yes, thank you. My point here is, first of all, I really do approve of this. From a fiscal position, this is very required for the network. I mean, very required. When you look at the ebb and flow of dollars in these charts, you'll see that through the years, many of the stations drop into the red. And as we heard in the workshop the other day, red is not a good color in this conversation. What I'd like to ask, and what I'd like to say here, is that it just seems to me, and I don't know the details here, but looking at revenue increases over the past number of years, there is a huge amount of money. It's right in your packet in a very colorful chart. Just the listener support part of that, the amount of money that has come into this foundation in the last few years, and then to look around and say, where did it go? And what I'm also noticing here is, because I really do feel that there's too many people employed in this foundation, because when you look at these salaries down here, just for the past 3 years, from 2004 till now, the increase in revenue, $2 million. But look at the increase in salaries. $1.5 million. If this foundation, if the stations would quit hiring so many more people, they would all have a surplus of money right
Mr.
now.
Chair, point of order.
Just please stick to the subject. Okay.
Point of order.
Rip, that's fine.
Oh, he's good.
Just one. Just I'm going to take my own personal privilege here. Lani, out of these five stations, which ones have? Three X's or two X's or one X, in your opinion? Does anybody have a three X's there?
KPFA has three X's. You invented a whole new phrase.
Triple
three
X.
X's.
Thank you. Okay.
WPFW is 1.5 X or so.
Wait, I'm sorry.
As of September 30th, 2006.
Yes.
KPFA is 3X's, roughly.
Thank you.
WPFW, 1.5X. Our national office, 2X's. The rest of the stations?
KS, doesn't it?
KS, in terms of the final numbers, would have 1X.
All right. Thank you very much. So we are...
Can we
just say WPFA? No, WPFW.
We have time, so we just...
WBI is 0X's.
Okay, that's what we need to make clear.
Okay, so Madam Secretary, if you could take a roll.
Can you ask
any objections to this motion by the Finance Committee? No objection to this, so it's passed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Just so people know, those X numbers were estimates because we don't actually have a balance sheet yet. Those are estimates.
This is what we're saying.
Okay, the next item.
This is, you know, I'll read it. This is a resolve that Article 6, Section 1 of the bylaws shall now read, the annual meeting of the Board of Directors shall take place in late January each year. January.
Hold on. Point of order. This can't be presented by the Finance Committee. A bylaws amendment has to be from six directors.
So I'm sorry. Did you see this on here earlier?
No,
never mind.
I didn't.
I'm sorry, Dave. Okay. I'll go on. Okay. I'll withdraw that. I don't need to read it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any other items?
No, that's it.
Okay. But the point is, we're recommending that six directors do this. and we need to do it soon. So hopefully it'll be on the agenda at our next meeting. And Lavarne, can you get six directors now so we can notice it for the next meeting?
Well, I'm working with another member of our committee, Teresa Allen.
Great.
And I will attempt to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Point
Bob?
Of order, the procedure is the six directors recommend to the board that it be noticed for 60 days hence.
Okay.
So we can't vote on it. At
I know, and there may be other issues on timeline because we had we attempted one, and there's a 12-month provision. Yeah. So we'll deal with it soon.
Yeah.
Yes.
If the six directors bring this forth in November, if they're not directors in January, can it be voted on?
You can do this in new business later today. It's just not an action item from the committee.
Okay, that's fine.
So hopefully we'll do it then if you guys can get it organized. Next is the Personnel Committee resolutions. God, and if we could get this done in 5 minutes.
I think so. I can't imagine any controversy.
Yeah, you can't. I'll bet.
Okay.
Sorry. Pardon me. I'm out of order. I'm gonna reprimand the chair and.
Point of information: isn't yes. Elections Committee next?
No, Personnel. We dealt with the elections issue. The Elections Committee didn't have action items. The elections stuff was dealt with in the supervisor's report. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. The Personnel Committee coordinated a 2-day retreat with managers and other staff within the foundation, and it was very productive. We had outside facilitators, and out of that came the following recommendations that we would like to move to a vote right now. Number one is just a simple statement of principle. All PNB members commit to the ongoing practice of mutual respect. Number two is the development of proposed policies on the following issues is tasked to the following bodies, and there's five of them. The first is email policy development be tasked to the Personnel Committee. Second, documentation on board management roles and responsibilities and an orientation manual be tasked to the Governance Committee. Third is effective means of management participation and involvement in board business, by which is meant working groups, committees, board meetings, retreats, etc. That the operations collective, which is the group comprising all the managers and national staff or national senior staff, be asked to devise a proposal and bring it back to the coordinating committee. The fourth is that mechanism and resources for effective documentation and record keeping by each station, that be developed by the Personnel Committee. And finally, that resources for conflict resolution be developed by the Personnel Committee. Oh, and then just the third point is that the Personnel Committee will devise methods to ensure management involvement in its follow-up work on the retreat. So that's the motion coming out of the committee.
There's something about...
I'll send you the text, Teresa.
I have it. The point of information is that there was something about the archives director.
No, that was a mistake.
That was Strutt.
Thank you.
Okay, that's from the committee. It doesn't require a second. Do we need debate on this, or may we adopt this? Okay. Is there any objection to adopting the motions? Hearing no objection, they're adopted. I've been informed that we actually did have action items from the Elections Committee in the board packet, as well as the Programming Committee, and I was not aware of that. Both proposals are extensive proposals. I'd therefore like to recommend we schedule a teleconference for 2 weeks from this evening to deal with those committee issues. And I will say that the structure of this meeting was designed around the hypothesis that we would not have extensive action item from committee and that we would be processing those in teleconferences so that we could have more discussion with staff and amongst ourselves on the philosophy and direction issues. So would people, however, we have 10 minutes now. I'm just nervous about trying to bring that forward. Actually, we were supposed to already be at received reports. That 10 minutes is 10 minutes that were as extended. So is there a motion on this topic?
I would make a motion that we schedule a special teleconference meeting to do this within the next 2 weeks. Let's see. That's a subject, and that the chair determine which dates
Can we?
People can meet.
Can we, by consent, agree that we will caucus over lunch and in new business we'll make that motion once we've talked to everybody about what works? Teresa?
So, is there anything in the elections resolutions that needs to be dealt with immediately?
Can an elections committee member tell us whether there's something in addition to what we've done today that's so time sensitive that 2 weeks would moot it?
From memory, I think not.
Anybody else? Meantime, Lisa, you had a comment?
No, Don's looking.
Okay. Okay, well, I tell you what, when we come back, we actually are going to, what I suggest is we move to received reports, and if from LSBs, the three items that were in that section, and if somebody says we do need to deal with it, then we will come back and deal with it, okay, while you look it up, rather than waiting now. Is that acceptable?
Yes.